Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a good day. It's 2 p.m. Eastern here at our broadcast center, Monday, September 13th, 2021. And my pleasure to welcome to our show for the very first time, Rebecca Moridogli of Shiro Leadership. Now, if you're not familiar with the kind of work that she does, what she does is really deliver strategic blueprints, solid methodologies, and real-life examples from the international community and personal stories of triumph and perseverance to inspire and really propel people into action. It's a life skill. It's a strategy of living, according to Rebecca. Everybody can do this. It's a life. It's really amazing. Now, it really is an acronym, too. It stands for Rebecca's five leadership principles. It's spelled S-H-E-R-O. And those five principles offer an extraordinary skill to life: spirituality, humanity, enlightenment, responsibility, and opportunity. And when she says spirituality, she's saying we are all connected. Humanity is about giving your time and attention to the world around you and really getting to know the global community. Enlightenment is making sure you learn something new every day, mindful of who you are and were yesterday, compared to who you are today and who you would like to be tomorrow. Of course, responsibility is next, where we choose our response to events in our world. And finally, opportunity. There are no mistakes in your world, only stepping stones towards learning. It's all-inclusive. The leadership concept really invites people from all demographics, cultures, religions, ages, ethnicities, races, sexes, and, it's the way you choose to identify yourself to come together in a win-win capacity. The premise is to challenge limiting belief systems and move beyond self-imposed limitations, which we often tend to do. She honestly believes humanity is in trouble if we keep going the way we're going. I agree 110%. Let's get on the top of Mount Everest with a bullhorn and say that out loud. Humanity is in trouble if we keep going the way we're going, politically, economically, socially, environmentally. She believes in the goodness of human beings, and so do I. We're not always seeing the best examples of that right now. However, that's why Rebecca's here. That's why Jim's here. There are a few of us out there looking to have a positive outlook and be inspiring and try to keep the train on the track. And to help us do that, Rebecca's going to join us right now with her wisdom and her incredible ideas. She's live and direct from beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Welcome, Rebecca, to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jim, for this opportunity. I have to say, you set it up so beautifully. I think the interview is done.
I was going to say, kindred spirits we are. We are kindred spirits. I think, and I'm a Libra on top of that. So we're striving for balance and harmony every day. And boy, we have our work cut out for us. I would love to kick off with that in a second about, the fact that we are in trouble, we really need to take a good hard look at things. But what early on for you were those sources of inspiration that pointed you into doing this work, some of your life's journey, your history, that put you on the path to doing what you do today? I love to ask that question of the guests because I think it makes you very relatable. The audience then really understands.
Sure. Yeah.
This isn't work that you just want to do. It's in your DNA. You have to do this kind of work.
You have to do it. It's a calling for. It's not just a job. Although it is a job in many ways, but it's become a calling. Now, in terms of like a history, if you look at all the people that you've interviewed probably in the past, it's never just been one thing, right? It's been a culmination of things over the years that have led to the point where you're interviewing them, or they've started that business, or they're making an impact in people's lives. But as far as for me, like, I'll make it as brief as possible because there's a few little chunks here and there. But it started with my very interesting childhood. Like, I was born in Germany to Armenian parents. And we moved to Iran. Then we moved to England. So we moved to Canterbury. And then we finally ended up calling Vancouver, Canada home. So I've moved a lot while I was younger. And then the thing to note is that I never stepped foot in Armenia due to the Iron Curtain and the communist regime at the time. But I was raised to be Armenian, the food, the culture, the language, friends, marriage, et cetera, right? And that being said, I was a very inquisitive child, and as a young adult, I hated being told that's just the way it is. I was that annoying child that kept asking why, and I'm sure I drove my parents crazy. And yeah. Like, growing up in North America, I was exposed to all these beautiful cultures, Punjabi, Italian, Croatian, Filipino, you name it. The list was endless, right? You're in the hub here in North America. Everyone's coming here. I saw so many commonalities, but I also saw the restrictions within each of these cultures. This led me to studying international relations, political science in university, and I was kind of tired of this us versus them theme that I kept seeing in, like, any time we studied war or why NATO was established or why United Nations was established, all these patterns of behaviors. And I was looking for some commonalities and some bridges to bring people together. So it kind of started percolating back then. I started looking at psychology books, motivational books, self-help books, but everything was about like Freud or Skinner or Pavlov, which was valid, but I wanted something more like, what can I use today, right now, as opposed to spending hours with a psychiatrist or to understand human behavior. And then there was the other infomercial, the crazy motivational infomercials that said, you too can make a lot of money. And I'm like, okay, this is one extreme to the other kind of thing. There was Anthony Robbins at the time, but again, it was more money-oriented or goal-oriented in terms of your, like, a North American culture, success means having a bigger car, a bigger house, keeping up with the Joneses, that kind of thing. Now, I say this with reservation because I know he's also evolved since back in the day in the 90s, so kudos to him. But just going back to it, it was way before positive psychology. I don't know if you're familiar with the school of positive psychology that exists now.
Oh, yeah.
But So back in the day, that didn't exist. So I was kind of reaching for that, looking for that. And at the time, as I was earning my degree, I was also working with a commercial diving company where we sent diving crews all around the world. So I was exposed to working with superintendents and engineers for deep-sea vessels globally. So you can imagine, on top of all the other mindsets, whether it's like ethnic mindset, now I'm in an environment where I'm dealing with people saying a woman in authority in a male-dominated industry. How did that happen? So that was a whole different concept, right? That's a whole interview all by itself. This is way before the Me Too movement, way before the Me Too movement.
Absolutely.
Right. And then in 2006, I decided to visit the motherland, or as I used to call it, the mothership, at ground zero to see where all these rules and regulations of how one must be to be an Armenian, right? Because keep in mind, this is how I was raised. And I was always told no one's going to understand you better than your own kind, per se, right? And that's where the idea of the book started. Oddly enough, while I was there, I met my best friend who had a brain tumor at the time. And in spite of those adversities, we had amazing conversations. We started, you know, talking about the idea of interdependence, inclusivity, coming togetherness. And honestly, like, there's a reason for all this happening. And again, I'm going to fast forward. Like I said, there's so much in there. But I lost my friend and my job of 18 years within 1 year of each other. And although it was tragic, I mean, I speak about it comfortably now, but even up until 5-6 years ago, this is where that big lump in my throat would always well up. But yeah, it was incredibly tragic. It was like me being a deer caught in the headlights because all of a sudden, like, you know, when there's this tower moment where everything just crumbles around you. But I ended up just thinking this is divine timing and everything happens for a reason. And somehow I came across the field of coaching, and given the years of management, I was like really interested. So fast forward to 2010, I got my first level coaching training. I self-published, sort of like Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer did at the time. I opened up my own publishing company, which I've called Tumest, which is Latin for It's Up to You, in the hopes of attracting people who were like me at the time that couldn't get an agent and couldn't get a publishing company to even look at them twice. And I published my first book, From Sheep to Shiro, Transforming the Face of Tribal BS to Live a Life of Spirituality, Humanity, Enlightenment, Responsibility, and Opportunity. Now, Jim, before you say anything, BS doesn't stand for bullshit, it stands for belief systems.
Of course. And that's why BC, which always has meant before Christ, also now means before COVID.
COVID, exactly. You got it. So that in a nutshell is how Shiro kind of came to be. It was like a percolation of over the years and then finally dawning and ta-da. Yeah.
Yes. So then you've created this wonderful work that you do. And let's talk about it.
Okay.
Shiro, let's define. I did a little bit in the introduction, but it's really, as I mentioned, this wonderful blending of these strategic blueprints in leadership that you've experienced as well. Tell us about it. It sounds fascinating.
Well, let me tell you about actually how the word Shiro came about. So in 98, I was married and I was going through depression, even though I was working and studying and all those things. And I would always record Oprah, for instance, and I would always watch her. And like I said earlier, I was doing self-help books and whatnot to the point where my ex-husband, well, now ex-husband, would say, why are you reading all these books? There's nothing wrong with you. And I would jokingly say, or brattily say, I know there's nothing wrong with me. I'm trying to figure you out. And that didn't go well.
it's you I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, exactly. But my point is I heard her use the word Shiro, and she used it for her definition of a Shiro is a female hero. And if I understand correctly, in urban dictionaries, Shiro, when somebody uses the word Shiro, it is meant for a female hero. Now, it resonated with me at the time, so much so that I incorporated a company in 98, but I knew it was more than a female concept. So it kind of stayed and it percolated as the story went, as I was speaking about it earlier. Now, when I was in the coaching world, when I was studying and whatnot, and I always say to people, it kind of came to me as a trance because Shiro was always there. And with my friends prior to his passing, I would always say, there's something about this Shiro. It means something. It's more than a female hero. I'm not saying I am a hero. Like, I'm not saying that at all. And while I was in process of studying, I kept writing S-H-E-R-O, S-H-E-R-O, and it just came through me. And I'm like, how beautiful is this? Spirituality, humanity, enlightenment, responsibility, and opportunity. These are 5 points that globally everyone, over 7 billion of us, no matter where we are, no matter what our demographic is, no matter how we identify ourselves as human being, and I use that and I borrow that from Wayne Dyer, because we are all just human beings.
Great Wayne Dyer.
Yeah, beautiful soul. So I was just like, all these 5 points can be incorporated, whether you are a top executive, whether you are a mother of 5 kids, whether you are someone's best friend, whatever it is, however you identify yourself, given all the ways in which we're dissecting ourselves these days and identifying ours and putting more labels and labels and labels, I'm just saying whatever you think you are, whoever you think you are, you can be a best version of yourself using these 5 principles, and not only does it impact your personal life in a positive way, but in doing so, it has a ripple effect in your initial family, your community, your state, your nation, globally. So as opposed to us always looking outside of ourselves for that one leader who's going to come and rescue us, I'm suggesting it starts from us individually. And it goes from there. It just trickles forward from there. But we just have to understand these 5 principles. And when you do, when you fully understand it, it's as if you're tapping into the algorithm of the universe. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just like you're absolutely tapped into all these possibilities.
Yeah. So. Oh, it's very true. and the possibilities are there too. I mean, it's a life skill, right? A strategy of living.
It's absolutely. Mm-hmm. 100%. That's why it's not meant to. I come from a very ethnic background. I get it. Like when I first published the book, I was very scared in terms of how it's going to resonate within my own tribe. I thought I was going up against my tribe and I'm going to be the black sheep. So it took a lot of work for me, a lot of internal work for me to do this. But when I had the courage to do it, when I followed through, and when I speak about myself, it's not that I'm saying I'm amazing. I'm basically suggesting to others, if I can do it, you definitely can do it. It's not to impress you. It's to impress upon you that you can do this too. You can challenge belief systems. And no, I'm never going to say, basically, disown anything that you've had from the past. Disown your ethnicity, whatever. All I'm suggesting is if something's not working for you, question it. Advance it. We are not here in this point in life, what are we, September 13th, 2021, because nobody questioned something. Nothing has ever stayed the same. People have questioned things and we've moved forward. Now, the question becomes, is it good questions toward a constructive future? Or has it been things that have taken us towards a negative past? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the questions, I should say.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That is the question, my dear Watson. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, that is the question.
and I mentioned, you know, a little bit as far as what Shiro stands for, and you chose
mm-hmm.
these words very carefully, even if they
very
came to you
so.
France, they resonate with you very powerfully.
100%, because these are, like I said, these are, it's not a female hero, it's not a male hero, it's not an it hero, it's 5 points that are all inclusive. So whether you're Italian, whether you're a multimillionaire, whether you're working at our coffee shop here, Tim Hortons, wherever you are in life, you can incorporate these. So I can break it down a little bit more further if you like. So just so you could see just in the little time that we have how you could actually incorporate these. Would that be something of interest to you?
That would be great.
Sure. So when I talk about spirituality, one of the first things, generally speaking, in the 10 years that I've been speaking Shiro, people automatically assume religion. And it's anything but that. It's about connection. It's about how we are connected. And if anything, as you were saying earlier, in the last 18 months has shown us how connected we are. If something happens on the other side of the world, it has a massive impact on this side. And this is an organic thing that happened, let alone the business side of things that happen. If something happens on the other side, it impacts us in terms of fuel prices, in terms of container prices. And so everything's connected. We cannot just say it's about our country. We cannot just say it's about us only. So as soon as we understand that and how interdependent we are, that's like one of the biggest hurdles that one has to come across, acknowledging that. And this us versus them mindset, to understand that it's a taught mindset. It's not an organic mindset. We're not born to go us versus them. We're taught this. And this is one of the things that I challenge people on all the time. So when I speak spirituality, that's what I'm getting at. So that's, and I mean, again, these are like little snippets I'm giving you right now. I do workshops on the whole concept, like spirituality, humanity, enlightenment, and whatnot. But just so the listeners can understand in general what we're talking about here. So when I say humanity, it's, and again, like I was saying, it's us humans being, just like I was saying earlier, it's what I borrowed from Wayne Dyer. It's about we, not me. Gone are the days of what's in it for me, what's in it for me, what's in it for me. We have to start shifting our mindset to we. Otherwise, we're not going to survive this game called life. We have to think along the lines of how can I help? How can I be of service? Right? Not every second of every day. I'm not suggesting that there's nobody who's going to be a Gandhi or Mother Teresa by any means, but just incorporating a little bit of that in our lives, just a little bit. How can I make a difference? Even if it's giving of your time, even if it's, you know, sometimes I know this is going to sound strange, but if I go through a drive-through, and if I see a mother with a few kids in the back in a minivan and whatnot, I treat them. I pay for their meal. It's nothing major. It's maybe $20, whatever. But I know it made the world of difference for that woman. right? In terms of being acknowledged, in terms of being understood, in terms of a stranger reaching out. It makes a world of difference to how we feel. She went from being frazzled, maybe, to feeling good. And that is huge. Enlightenment. This is one of the most interesting ones because it's about education and us always learning something new. And this really comes from, to be honest, from my dad every day saying, what did you learn today? What did you learn today every time we came home from school? And it used to be annoying, but now I get it. It's like, right? Like, it's like, okay, yeah, what did I learn today? What do I know today that I didn't know yesterday and that's going to help me become a better version of myself? And this thing called competition and keeping up with the Joneses, no, it shouldn't exist. I'm my own competition. I need to be a better version today of who I was yesterday. So say this interview is done. I mean, a very real example. I'm going to put the phone down and I'm going to say, oh, I could have said this better. I could have done this better. And then the next interview, it will be a better version of it. Do you know what I mean? So it's just
right,
me.
Exactly.
It's not me comparing, right? It's not me comparing to Tony Robbins or anybody else. It's just who I am, what I could do. This is my life path. This is the journey I'm supposed to be on, and how best am I going to follow through with all the stuff that I'm supposed to do? It's like anything else. You have to learn to grow. If a business doesn't grow, it dies, correct? Same with us as human
That's
beings.
Right.
We have to learn and grow. It's that simple. Responsibility and opportunity really came to me from the motivational speakers of the time. And that's more in terms of, but again, it can be applied to everyday life, and it should be applied to everyday life. So when I say responsibility, most people talk about the ability to respond, right? So you are in absolute control of how you respond to things. So I may not have controlled, I mean, I wish I had this mindset back in the day when I was married, but if my mother-in-law said something, I would react, but not in a positive manner. I would say, oh, she said this and blah, blah, blah. But the point being is that she can say whatever she wants. I choose how I choose to react. When a person says something to you, they're revealing themselves to you. They're not necessarily revealing what you are actually like. So you have to be mindful. You have to be open-minded. You can't react to everything that happens. Take charge of your life and the circumstances in your life. And stop the blame game. Stop the why does the wind always blow spit my way. Get out of the way. Get out of the wind.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Right?
And they say, otherwise you stay stuck, right?
Well, 100%. And that's why when I speak about Shira, and like I'll just end it quickly with opportunity, and as most people know, this is straightforward. There's no such thing as failure. There's an opportunity to learning in every situation. Every chair that you're sitting on, every desk that you see, every car that you're driving, everything and anything around you, at some point, failed in its prototype level. And everybody tried and tried and tried and until it became the success that it is, until it became the chair that you're sitting on, the table that you're leaning on, and the car that you're driving 0 to 60 in 1.2 seconds. Do you know what I mean? So you have to embrace the challenges. You can't just give up at the first time something fails and say, woe is me. You just have to keep going and going. So when you put all these 5 points together, it's a powerhouse. Like, I feel like it's just dynamite. If you just know how to tap into it. So on my car, on my personalized license plate, it says Shiro. And I love watching people's reactions because I'm trying to figure out, they're trying to figure me out, actually, in terms of, oh, does she think she's a female hero? Does she think she's blah, 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 whatever? I don't mind
like
that because
Shiro,
whatever
yeah.
they think, right? So I don't mind it because, like I said earlier, whatever a person thinks, it reveals them to the world, not necessarily what I am, correct? So my point is for people who are familiar with who have come across my idea of this global leadership, if they see Shiro somewhere and if they're in a negative state, if they're challenged about something, they have this snap, they jump back into state and they just like, oh, okay, what would a Shiro do? What can I do as a Shiro? That kind of thing, just to snap them out of it. Because one of the things I'll always say, Jim, is like when Shiro first came out, it almost seemed like people were coming at me saying, oh, you have to be perfect all the time. I go, oh, no, this is not about perfection. This is about real life, knowing that there's going to be times where you're going to fail. You're going to fall on your face. You're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to do things. You may hurt somebody by accident without meaning to or whatever. But it's about knowing how to get up and knowing how to use these 5 points to the best of your ability to make the best version of yourself, and then thus making a dramatic difference not only in your life but in the global community. I mean, I've made it so it's all-inclusive. I don't know what else I could do.
Well, hey, that's the way it should be, right? I mean, that's a beautiful way to have it be. You know, life should be that way.
I mean, there's a lot of shoulds there, but I'm of the opinion that it can be. It should be. It's, again, I use the word should. It should no longer be should. It's a must at this point. We're at the must level now. So as you were saying earlier when you were introducing me in terms of what's coming up in the world and how that we're in trouble, we're at the must level. This is not a luxury anymore. It's not a luxury to continue this us versus them. You know, it's us first and all that. Because at the end of the day, you have to understand human psychology. And a lot of us versus them is fear-based, right? What if I don't have enough? What if I can't provide for my family? What if so-and-so doesn't love me? So it kind of, if you kind of peel away at the onion, it always comes down to being loved, being worthy, being wanted, being good enough. So if we can peel away at the fear, if we can just peel away at the fear and look at the fact that there's no lack, that you have your own path, here's another way of possibly approaching it. This is not a mindset where you say kumbaya and you sit under a willow tree and you visualize something. Sure, that's great. You need to know, you need to kind of have a roadmap of where you want to go in life, correct. But you also have to be mindful of the fact that there's going to be some side roads that you have to take or whatnot, and how you're going to get there in the most possible constructive way. You have to take action. Life is about action. Life is the journey. We all know what the destination is, right?
Right.
So.
Absolutely, yeah. Very encouraging, very inspiring as well. And I think it's something that people should really explore because, you know, we've had this great pause. We've had this time where we can really investigate ourselves a little bit more deeply and maybe work with these self-limiting beliefs and maybe things that we have sort of wanted to do. You know, there's been this great shift of energy where mm-hmm. people are saying, gee, I don't want to necessarily do that job anymore. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I want to do things that serve, you know, the greater good, that fulfill me, my heart, inspire me. There's been a lot of that going on. And so I think mm-hmm. the timing of what you do is so perfect for this shift that's happening right around mm-hmm. us.
The timing is great, but it's only a matter, it's these kind of concepts. It's like saying you have a wonderful library with tons of beautiful books, but
people need to read
them. Might read the book. Exactly. But, I mean, it's more than that, Jim. Not only do you have to read it, but you also have to incorporate it in your day-to-day life. You have to practice it. You can't just talk about the fact that you have that beautiful book in your library. Oh, I know of this concept.
Right.
Okay, but what have you done about it? What have you done? And don't worry about advertising it. This is the other thing with social media today, like the act of kindness being advertised. Just do the act of kindness. Don't worry about the advertising. The good karma will
right,
come. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I know. We're in this whole other that's mindset now. Social media has certainly exacerbated that in such a way that's unusual. It's like a marketing and psychological experiment, social media.
No, 100%. It's funny because I think it was a couple of weeks ago I was speaking to a group of 16-year-olds. Beautiful girls, just got into talking Shiro, just asking them questions. And like, it's almost like nobody had asked them these kind of questions. And even though I could have been their mother, it was just different because I was coming at them from a different perspective. And one of the things, topics that came up was ghosting. And I asked them, I said, I know this is very prevalent I wanted to be very general because I didn't want to point anybody out, right? I said, it seems very common, even as adults, for instance, it's not just teenagers, that, you know, comes social media, you break up on social media, I don't ever want to talk to you again, boom, done. I go, it's so much better. It would be so much better that if you, whether this is considered the R in Shiro for responsibility or O for opportunity of self-growth and responsibility of taking responsibility for your actions, you can choose to speak to the person.
I just
want
to slip in quick because we got about 5 seconds. The website is imshiro.com, imshero.com, the website to connect with Rebecca. Okay, you can continue a little bit if you like. We're off air now, but this is being recorded.
Okay, sure. Sorry, Jim. I'm known to go on.
No, that's fine. Just to make sure we got the website in there live for anybody listening
Got it. Thank you. Just for ghosting, I basically said, listen, face the fear, face the adversity, face the awkward situation, because at the end, some of them would say, oh, but I don't want to deal with that person, or they hurt me. Well, it's not about the other person. It's about you becoming a stronger version of yourself. You've seized the moment to step up. You haven't like withered away and gone into the corner and hid, then every time you do that, you become a stronger, more confident version of yourself. So why not? Mm-hmm. Right? And then after the conversation's done, the other person doesn't want to converse or has a hard time, then you can take other steps. But that first initial step should not just be an immediate ghosting and off you go. So, and I bring this up only because to say that Shiro can be applied to global initiatives and personal things that teenagers have to deal with. That's why it's such an all-inclusive, as I keep saying, concept, and in so many different scenarios, business, personal, you name it. So, yeah.
Very, very true. Yeah. You obviously, you're very passionate about it, and you love the work. And again, I'll repeat the website, imshiro.com. That's the letter I and then A-M-S-H-E-R-O.com to connect with Rebecca to learn more about the incredible work that she does. Obviously, she's all-inclusive, and she's passionate about what she does. Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. This went by in a New York minute, and hopefully we'll get a chance to maybe explore some more, maybe hear some case studies, success stories, things of that nature down the line as well. But this was a real pleasure and a delight, and thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. You keep up the amazing work because, again, it's very empowering and it's very inspirational, and it, I think, is work that you're just destined to do, and it's so obvious. And I thank our audience, too, for joining us. This is your host, Jim Masters, listening to Close Up Radio. And I invite you to stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another amazing guest as well, celebrated right here around the world on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.